How many of y'all have got a Bible today? All right, let's turn Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22, verse 15. I believe these two verses we're about to read today summarize what's happening in our churches and in our country. I hear folks talking all the time saying, you know, what do you think, preacher, is happening? What do you think is going on? I believe these two verses this morning is going to summarize for us what is going on in all of our churches and what's going on in our country. And I find that in Job chapter number 22 and verse number 15, and then also in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 28. And here's what the Bible has to say. If you've got your Bible, say amen. Amen. Job chapter 22, verse number 15 says this: "Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden?" Have you marked the old way in which wicked men have trodden? Back over in Proverbs and chapter number 22 and verse number 28. Here we have a very similar verse. The Bible says here in Proverbs 22, 28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." I want to preach to you on just a little while this morning on that thought in verse number 28, removing the ancient landmarks. Removing the ancient landmarks. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we need your help. And I pray, God, that you'd bind every evil spirit that might come up upon us even now. I pray that we clear our minds of everything. Thank you for the good music. And Lord, thank you for the good food that we're going to enjoy in just a little while. But Lord, help us not to concentrate on those things, nor the ball game this afternoon, or the race, or whatever else that's going on in our lives. But God, may we give attention to the Word of God now. That's why we're here this morning, Holy Spirit. And I pray for everyone that's listening, either by means of internet, and those that will listen by means of radio, and those that are listening here in this building today, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would move upon us today. And I pray unctionize us, give us power, and I pray this in the Lord's name, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen and amen. I find here in these two verses, beloved, as I mentioned to you, what is happening and is summing up what's going on in our churches and in our country. Back in the Old Testament time, there were some folks that were just as crooked as a dog's hind leg, as the old timers used to say. Some folks back in that day, in order to divide the land and show who owned what and what, they would take large stones and they would mark the property boundaries of your land. So let's say if my land adjoined Rodney's land, and Rodney's land joined Brother Reese's land, and then Brother Allen's land, and so we had these property boundaries, these rocks that we would set out, and they became the established boundary of our possession. But then over a period of time, some unscrupulous people, after people would die off, they would come in and they'd go up to Brother Rodney's marker there, and while people wasn't looking, they'd begin to move it, sometimes at nighttime, sometimes very gradually. Sometimes they'd start moving, Brother Allen, that property line, and what they were trying to do is get a little bit more land than what the next fella had. And they began to move those property boundaries, and they began to move those landmarks. And to the point that corruption set in, and people began to be greedy. And so all of a sudden, instead of establishing those property boundaries, now they have been moved. And sometimes those are dishonest people. Sometimes they were thieves. And sometimes they were just individuals that would move the ancient landmarks that their forefathers had put in place. And so here the thieves would often move that landmark just a little bit at a time. But over time, the land would be stolen away and somebody else would own that. The Bible warns us. God said in Deuteronomy 19:14, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit the land that the Lord God thou giveth thee to possess it." I want to go on record this morning and say that I believe that this Bible is God's landmark. Would you agree with me? Oh, let's say that again this morning. I believe that the Word of God is God's landmark for our living. Amen. It is our standard, regardless of what the Supreme Court decides, the Bible is still our landmark. Have an amen. Regardless of what society may say, the Bible is still our landmark. Regardless of what our politicians may enact, the Bible is still our landmark. Say amen. And beloved, we have seen a digression from the Word of God. This verse has a great spiritual meaning that we have just read. The ancient landmarks are set. They're found in Scripture. And I believe, beloved, the unadulterated Word of God is one of those ancient landmarks. What is happening to those landmarks today? They're being moved little by little by little. I know there's some folks that still don't agree with the old-fashioned King James Bible. There's some folks today that say you need a newer translation. I want to tell you, the Bibles that were given out today, they're still the old King James Version. Can I have an amen? Some people say, well, preacher, you need to get updated. You need one of those NIVs. Let me tell you that in the NIV, there are 16 verses in the King James that when you go over to the NIV, they're totally omitted. They're not found at all. 16 verses, at least, in the King James that are not found in the NIV. But go back further than that. You say, why are you a King James man? Because, beloved, if you go back to those ancient manuscripts, the most accurate manuscripts is the Textus Receptus from which the King James Version came from. And, beloved, I just believe this. God has preserved His Word through this, down through the ages for over 400 years. God has used this to preserve it. But today, little by little, little by inch, people want to omit that. They want to change that. They want to leave some things out of it. Oh, listen, my friend, it's time that you and I establish those old boundaries once again. You know why? Some of us are getting a little bit older, amen. Some of us, age is beginning to come up upon us. But it's not for our sakes. It's for our descendants' sakes. Would you say amen? It's for those that's going to come and follow the old Sodus trail. It's for those that still want to have old-time religion. Hallelujah. I still believe in the old-fashioned way. Some things you can't improve on. I had a set of ice grips here recently, and I better not say where they was from, but they're from a retailer, American made, USA, stamped on it, USA, amen? It had USA right on there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A pair of ice grips, and so I took them in. They got rusted, and Brother Ross, they got rusted, and so I took them in to the store because they said if you brought this brand, you'd get a new pair. And oh, I took them in and I traded them in for a new pair. They were brand new pair in the package, Brother Allen. And I traded in a pair that were made in America. I mean, they had a little rust on them, but they were American made. Then I got them out, ripped over that package, and guess what it said? You got it, made in China. I wish I had my other ones back. I wish I had and clean up the rust off of them. You see, just because something is new doesn't mean it's better. Can I have an amen? Just because you say, well, it's more up to date. Yeah, but that don't mean it's any better. Why do you think people pay big money for antiques? Amen. Because some things gets better as time goes on. And here this morning in the time that we've got together, I want to share with you, please, and follow me together as we preach on removing those landmarks. Number one, what is the purpose of a landmark? What was the purpose back in biblical days of these landmarks? Number one, they were to mark the boundaries. In ancient Israel, according to the law, the landmarks were set on the boundaries of the land. If one man had a farm, if he had a grazing land or whatever, the limits were marked by the landmarks. They were marked by the boundaries. Under the law, it was forbidden for anybody to come and move one of those landmarks. In doing so, it means that they were illegally coming upon somebody else's land. Just like today, you ride down the road and you see the no trespassing sign. You see the purple paint that's on a fence post somewhere. That means stay out, no trespassing. This belongs to me, posted land. That's mine, not yours. Stay off of it. Don't hunt on that. And so it was in the days of Israel. It marked the boundaries of what belonged to them. But then also it marked the pass that there was well traveled. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old pass. Wherein is the good way? Not just a way, but wherein is the good way? Where is the, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. My friend, we need to mark some of those old-fashioned ways. Amen. I'm not for, listen, I've got new technology. I like it. Praise God, it keeps me from, if I had printed this out, I'm going to scare you to death now. It's 16 pages long. Some of you just lost me right there, wouldn't you? But as long as I got that up here, y'all don't know how many pages it is. This is when I get finished. But I like new technology, amen. I got this here thing stuck in my ear this morning. It helps you to hear me, although you probably don't need it, amen. But I like certain things, but my friend, what I'm talking about is that there are some things that we just need to anchor down and say, by the good grace of God, we're going to still preach the old blessed book. We're going to still hold to the old truths. We're going to still hold to the old doctrines. The things that has stayed afloat for all these many years, the doctrine of sin and salvation and heaven and hell and the things to come, they still need to be preached today instead of this feel good stuff. Amen. Come as you are and leave as you want. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend. And the Bible said, ask for the old ways. Wherein is the good ways? Would to God we'd have some old-fashioned gospel preachers today with a backbone like a saw log that would preach the word of God, not being fearful of who put tithe money in and who didn't. Amen. Oh, but now, preacher, you got to be careful. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. We need to preach this book and preach it like it is unto the people as they are. We're all sinners by the good grace of God. We're all sinners. Some in this building may be headed to heaven, some headed to hell, but we're all sinners. And this blessed old book still needs to be preached. That thank God as they sing, the blood of Jesus saves, washes our sins. We need to preach that. We need to mark the bad ways, by the way. My friend, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. It's like a road map. A psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Back in the olden days when I was coming along, we didn't have GPS. We didn't have a smartphone where we could just say, Siri, tell me how to get to where I'm going, and then she'd talk to you. Although I have had a few conversations with her that have not been very pleasant. She's telling me to go one way, and I'm saying, no, that's not the other day. I said, Siri, how can I get over such and such a highway? And she's like, I don't know. I don't understand what you're saying. But back in the olden days, you'd get out a road map. I remember the days, Brother Allen, that you'd go by a Rand McNally Road Atlas, big old thick thing, about $4.95, and you'd thumb through that thing, and before you start on a trip, you'd plan out your roads. You'd go, sir, I'm going up I-20 and hit over, I'm going and then hit over to number 210, and then from 210 I'm going this way, and especially if you're going out of state, you'd plan that out ahead of time and even maybe take a marker and mark it and write it down. But today we don't need that. Friend, it's the same way with this blessed book. A lot of folks say we don't need the Bible any longer. We got this and we got that. But friend, this is a lamp in our feet, a light in our path. It will direct you. It'll show you the way to go. Now, it ain't going to tell you how to get to Atlanta, but it will tell you how to get from here to heaven. It'll tell you how to live your life. It'll tell you what's pleasing to God, what it. And friend, we need to get in this book. Number two, the preparation of the landmark. Well, one's got to mark out the boundary. Somebody, Brother Rodney, if your land and my land join Brother Allen's land, somebody had to go out there one day and take a rock and a boulder and put it down. I'm going to use that monitor right there as a rock, as a landmark. Somebody had to, who put that over there this morning, by the way? You did? Praise God, I figured he would have this morning. I mean, glory to God. Well, let him tote it back out yonder, right? But if that was a landmark, Brother Allen, somebody had to put it there. Somebody had to anchor that thing down. Can I tell you something? This church is not here by accident. Amen? There's people that have given blood and toiled and sweat in order to have comfortable pews and to have an air-conditioned unit when it gets hot and have heat and put up ceiling fans and have light and electricity. Somebody had to do it. It just didn't happen overnight. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody had to put that landmark down there. And friend, we ought to thank God that we have a heritage, that there's been some folk that have lived and died and give their life for the cause of Christ so that we can have what we have today. It didn't come by accident. Pardon me for saying so, but we've got a generation today that it's an instant generation. Instant oatmeal, instant coffee, instant grits, instant everything. And they want everything, they want it right now. Can I tell you something? Some of you mamas and daddies, sometimes mamas and daddies do a real injustice to their youngins by giving them everything they want. Say amen. I mean, come on, you older folk in here, how many of you did your mom and daddy give you everything? You didn't. Sometimes they gave you stuff that you didn't want. Say amen right there. But some of you know what hard work was. Some of you had to go to work when you was just growing up. But nowadays, we've got a generation that wants it handed to you. Amen? They want you to work for it, but I want to be the recipient of it. I want your tax money to pay for something that I didn't earn. Say amen right there. You see, we have, and friend, I heard Brother Cody say this on a message. I agree 100%, and it's spilled over in our churches. We expect somebody else to pay the bill. We expect somebody else to do the job. We expect somebody else to do the visiting. But we just want to sit back and say, glory, yes, that's a good service. Hey, look, it's only because somebody put the landmarks down. Y'all with me? Now, don't go nowhere because lunch is right out this way. We got lunch for you. Amen. Somebody had to put the landmarks down. Listen, Psalm 25:4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Would to God today that we'd have a generation coming up. Zach, how old are you? I'm sorry. How old are you? How many? 27. 27. Praise God. Well, I tell you what. I wish I was 26. No, I don't. I wouldn't want to go back. But listen, I'm not going to ask you ladies how old you are. No, so I wouldn't do that. But I guarantee you and I and Sister Kay and Miss Joanne here, we're all past 27, aren't we? Amen. Would to God we'd have a generation of younger folks that would say, hey, I'm going to take up the mantle. Would to God we'd have, listen, some of us, listen to me now. I'm not trying to play on your heartstrings, but some of us in this building this morning, if God gives us another 10 years or God gives us another 15 years, we're going to have to be sitting on the sideline. Somebody else is going to have to be playing the piano. Somebody else is going to have to be leading the music. Somebody else is going to have to be preaching. Amen? Yes, sir. Why? Oh, listen, we ought to say there's a precaution here. There's a preparation for the landmark. There's a precaution of the landmark. Notice something, Deuteronomy 27:17. He said, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people said, and y'all can say this with me, all the people said, amen to that. He said, don't remove them. As I said, change is not always better. Beloved, I'd rather, this morning, I'd rather be an all-time Christian. I told these ladies last night, we went down to the prison. I told you this morning, it wasn't a matter of getting in, it was a matter of getting out. Praise God, they let me out on work release. No, I'm going to tell you something. And these two ladies sitting on the front row can amen it. I told them fellas last night behind bars, they got up there and they sang about being free. They sang about Calvary. They sang about the blood. I told them I'd like to take some of them back to my church. Because you know why? There were some sitting out yonder and they were waving hands, standing up, praising the Lord. They were into that service. Praise God. Listen, it'd make me want to go back to jail. Amen. It'd make me want to go steal something so I can get back in yonder. Bible said don't remove those ancient landmarks. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Here's what I was going to say. On the way back last night, Brother Bobby was driving, and I made a statement. I'm a dinosaur. I'm becoming a dinosaur. Brother Allen, I don't know. I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but Brother Allen, I grew up listening to Brother Mays and Billy Kelly and Billy Canoy and Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson and John R. Rice and Lester Roloff. Oh, you're talking about a preacher now, Lester Roloff, praise God. How many of you ever heard Lester Roloff preach? Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Son, Lester Roloff, he'd skin hides and nail them to the wall and pour alcohol on them. Yes, sir. But I guarantee you one thing, he had the power of God on him. He had a touch of God on him. And my friend, there's a precaution here that we remove not those ancient landmarks. Don't just because something is new and something you say it's better. No, sir, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, an old-fashioned Christian, than anything I know. I'd rather preach heaven. Heaven is sweet and hell is hot. Then number four, there's the preserved landmarks. What do we need to preserve so the enemy doesn't come in? Hear me out now. What can we do today to preserve, to keep this here landmark in its place? What can we do to keep the enemy from coming in? John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. Number one, the one thing that we can do is pray. How many of you believe in prayer? Then where are you on Wednesday nights? Boy, the shouting stopped right there, didn't it? Oh, preacher, now you're getting personal. You know what happened? Because the old landmarks people, they started saying, you know, Junior's got ball practice on Wednesday night, so I guess we won't go this week. And you know, the ladies, they're having that pink lemonade social. We can't go next week. And you know, we got the men's softball team. They've got practice on Wednesday night. We can't go then either. And you know, Wednesday night, that's an awfully good time to, you know, go to the restaurant. Hello? And all of a sudden, those that used to come no longer come. They don't see the need of it. They want somebody else to pray for them. They'll give you a long list of prayer requests, but they want somebody else to pray for them. Hello? Getting quiet. Let me tell you something. Prayer is the only thing that is learned by doing. Prayer is the only thing that you can learn by doing. Many Christians no longer pray. Prayer is hard work. We live in this world of convenience. We put something in the microwave, punch the button, stand there and fuss because it takes 30 seconds. Oh, listen, here's the obituary of Wednesday night prayer meeting. Sister Old Time prayer meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worley Avenue. She was born in the midst of great revival. She was strong and a healthy child, fed largely on testimony and spiritual holiness, soon growing into worldwide prominence. She was one of the most influential members of the famous church family. She was a great influence for good, gathering multitudes to hear the story of him who wore the seamless garment. For several years, our sister had been failing in health, gradually wasting away. She was finally finally rendered helpless by stiff knees, coldness of heart, inactivity, and a lack of willpower. At last, she was barely a shadow of her former self. Religious experts disagree as to the cause of her fatal illness. They administer to her large doses of organization, socials, concerts, contests, dramas, religious education, but all of them to no avail. A postmortem showed spiritual food, a deficiency, coupled with a lack of fasting, faith, and repentance. Shameless desertion and non-support were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her funeral, sobbing over the memories of her past beauty and power. There were no flowers. Her favorite hymns with Rock of Ages and Amazing Grace were not sung. The body rests in the cemetery of bygone glories, awaiting the summons from above. She will be ushered into the presence of God, spotless and full of glory. In honor of her departing, the church doors will be closed on Wednesday evenings. The third Wednesday night of each month, the Ladies Pink Lemonade Society will serve refreshment to the men's softball team. I guarantee you, if you roll down the streets this morning, here's what you're going to see. Sunday morning service, 10:30, and the rest is blank. Are y'all with me? Come on now, let's be honest. You ride down I'm talking about Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, I'm talking about them all. You ride down majority. Listen, majority are going to a one service once a week, and that's enough. They don't come back. You know why? And you talk to those churches, you talk to them preachers, and they'll tell you this. We just can't afford to keep the doors open. I know of churches by the scores. They're shutting their doors, turning off the lights, and saying, listen, we'll see you 1 week from today. We're removing the landmark. Oh, little by little, little by little, little by little. Until one day, the doors are shut. Until one day, the prayers meeting have stopped. Until one day, the church no longer meets. And we think, what happened? We've removed the landmark. Second of all, is preaching of the Word of God. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 2, preach the Word, be incident in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We need some old-fashioned preaching. Would you say amen? Somebody done got mad at me. We need some boldness in our preaching today. We need some preaching today that won't compromise. One of the greatest reasons America, moral society, has been washed out is because of the watered-down sermons coming out of the pulpits today. We've got preachers today. We need them to say, thus saith the Lord, without apology. A preacher without boldness is like a knife without an edge. It's like a gun without bullets. It's like a Mustang GT without an engine. Say amen, all you Ford fans. People today are bold about their sin. They're out of the closet. They fault it. They brag about it at the water cooler. Sometimes Christians are bold about sin, and they say, oh, that's just the way I am, like it or lump it. Preachers ought to be bold, too, in crying out against sin. Billy Sunday lived in the 1900s. He preached boldly against sin. He said he was a drunk himself before he got saved, and he preached much on the wickedness of addiction, on alcohol. One day, he was asked to tone it down. They told him, he said, preacher, my Sunday, you're offending people. They said, stop rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. Sunday looked at him and said, listen, I'm not changing my preaching. Let the cat turn around. Bold preaching is avoided and is feared in the 21st century, but not in the old days. What a difference. That made a difference. It wasn't the man. It was the message. It wasn't how rough it was. It was how real it was. It wasn't how it was said. It was who that said it. These old-time preachers, they didn't walk on eggshells. They stepped on toes. But my friend, majority of pulpits, the fire has gone out. And though the fire wasn't the man, it was the message. It wasn't the delivery. It was the content. One day, a young preacher asked John Wesley how to get more people to come to hear him preach. He said, I want bigger crowds. Who doesn't? There's not a preacher living today that wouldn't like to have more people to hear him. But this young preacher looked at Wesley and said, John Wesley, tell me, how can I get more people to come? This is what Wesley said. He said, allow God to set you on fire. He said, then the people will come to watch you burn. There's a lot of truth in that. Pray that the fire of God would fall. Pray that the unction of God would fall. Pray, my friend, that God's presence would be here, because without His presence, we might as well close the doors, pack her up, go home and sit down and watch football on television. But when God shows up, my friend, nobody wants to go home. A little boy came home from church one day. His mommy asked him, he said, "What did the preacher preach on today?" The little boy looked at him and thought for a minute. He looked back at his mama. He said, "He didn't say what he was preaching on today." And that's the way it is most of our churches. You ask the average church member 30 minutes after they leave on a Sunday morning service, "What did your preacher preach on today? Let me think for a minute. Let me see." That tells us where our minds are. Unfortunately, around our city and across our nation, compromising, pussy-footing, panty-waisted preachers stand up and try to not rock the boat. They talk for 30 minutes without saying anything. And there are those today that will go on national television, pat you on the back and tell you how good you are, and tell you, "Listen, you just send me $100 and sow a seed of faith and you'll get that back $1,000. Am I right or am I wrong? D.L. Moody said one time, "Good preaching will make people right or they'll get mad." Amen. I close with this. Some of you said, "I wish you didn't close a long time ago." How many of you have a mailbox at your house, or you got a post office box? Sister Gail, I usually go to the mailbox every day to check the mail and see what's in there. I'm always looking for some good mail. But Brother Rodney, I've got the sorriest mail carrier there is. Because most every day that I go and check that mailbox, there's a stack of bills in there. I mean, Brother Allen, I would figure that sooner or later that mail carrier would put some good mail in that mailbox. But all she puts in there is bad stuff, sales stuff and bills and more bills and sales stuff and newspaper ads and stuff. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to fire the mail carrier. Next time I see her coming down the road in her little car, I'm going to flag her down and say, "Look, don't stop here anymore. But sir, I have a job to do. I don't want none of them a bad. If you can put something good in that mailbox, put some nice letters and cards, and if you throw a few dollar bills in there, hey, you go ahead and stop. But don't put anything bad in. I just want the good stuff." Are y'all with me? That's like a preacher that'll stand up and only preach to you the good things. Thank God He is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. But He also is a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. And friend, let me tell you something. I believe that the God in whom I serve is getting ready to shut this thing down. I believe He's coming back. I believe He's going to break through the eastern skies. And you best be ready. We need some preachers to tell it like it is today. Don't remove those ancient landmarks. Don't remove them. I close with this story. This was found on the desk of a dying missionary after he had died. It was found on his desk. He gave his life in Africa. And I'm done. We'll go eat. But this is what he wrote. "I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back up, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gaunt is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate at the presence of the adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, till I give or I drop, till preach till all that know, and work till he stops me. I am a Christian. Are you? Are you sold out for Jesus? Have you given it all to him?